Good to see everybody today. I know it's been a full holiday season. I don't know how people do it, quite frankly, that have the responsibility of getting everything together and taking care of all the different gatherings that we have. But I appreciate all those who do, and I appreciate you for being here today. I know you could have used this as an opportunity to stay at home and kind of recover from the full holiday schedule, yet you didn't. And so appreciate your faithfulness. It's encouraging to see each one here, encouraging to have our visitors with us today. Hope that you'll stick around for just a few moments. Let us get to know you after the services if you have a moment or two to do that. If you have a bulletin, you'll notice on the article is 10 Steps to Revival, and it's found in the book of Joshua. I just kind of had noticed one time when I was studying the book of Joshua how effectively the steps of getting serious about God were put together within this book. And so I wanted to share that with you this morning, and especially on the first day of a new year. I think that everybody is kind of ready for maybe a different direction, or maybe a renewed focus of direction that you've already started. And so let me encourage you in that. Again, I want to commend everybody for being here today. So far for the year 2017, you have perfect attendance. And so congratulations for that. We are not trying to do that, though, that we might get a gold star or anything like that. What we're trying to do is to worship our Lord and Savior on the first day of each week in the way that He has commanded us to do so. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, the Israelites. No one will be able to stand,' he says in verse 5, 'up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you.' And then he says this, 'Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people.'" Well, I love the way that this is put, because it really kind of puts a burden on Joshua and also shows him that there's a responsibility that he has. For 40 years now, Joshua has been an understudy to Moses. He has been the one who's assisted Moses as they've gone through the wilderness. He was one of two, along with Caleb, that when they were approaching the promised land for the first time, said, "We can do this." Whereas everybody else said, "No, we can't." And because of that, they wandered for 40 years and were punished. They didn't get to go into the promised land. Everybody over the age of 20, other than Joshua and Caleb, died in the wilderness before they got to go into the promised land. But now here they are on the brink, and they're about to achieve that which God has purposed for them. And He purposed this over 400 years earlier. As a matter of fact, we're told before the foundation of the world that God had an eternal purpose. And so it's certainly been much longer than just 400 years since He's given the promise to Abraham that they would inherit this land. But they're about to do it. That which they have been hearing about for all their lives, and their fathers and grandfathers and their grandparents, they've been hearing about. They're getting to do it. They're getting to go into the promised land. And so one of the very first things God tells Joshua is, get ready. You and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River. The time has come. And so as we look at that, I think there's something there for us. I think we all get to a certain point in our lives where we kind of look back and we wonder what we've accomplished. Especially when it's really busy. There are times in our life where it seems like all we do is put out fires or try to get well or try to take care of somebody's problems that they've brought on us. And because of that, it can be easy to take our eyes off the goal. The goal for us is the same as it was for them, is the promised land. We're looking forward to heaven. That's why we're here. The purpose of your existence is to show God that you want to be in heaven someday. The purpose of your existence is not to be here. God did not put you here on this earth for maybe a maximum of 100 years as the main part of your existence and then promise an eternity in heaven as an afterthought. We're getting ready to go to heaven. So the question for you this morning is, are you getting ready? Or are you acting like this is it? Are you acting like this, if you want to compare it to it, this wandering in the wilderness is the main part of your existence? As you get older, do you get depressed that maybe your existence is nearly over? Or do you get excited that you're approaching the promised land? Because God really does have something very incredible for those who will be faithful to Him. We don't deserve it. But for those who follow His way, there is a reward and there's also an eternity of responsibility. And in order to take advantage of that, like the Israelites approaching the promised land, we're going to have to get ready. And so that's the first part. And I want to really kind of focus on that this morning. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus said this, starting in verse 28. Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Well, now this has a lot of meaning to Carolyn and I right now. For those of you who don't know, we got a building downtown that had collapsed onto Main Street. We paid $10 for it, plus other good and valuable considerations. Here's what the good and valuable considerations were. The man who owned the building he didn't have the time to take care of it once it had collapsed. And so the city of Happy went to him. They had to condemn it because it was a safety hazard. And they went to him, and with an estimate that they had for demolishing it, it was between $30,000 and $50,000. And they said, "We're going to have to demolish this if you don't, and this is going to be the cost, and we're going to have to put a lien on your property." Well, the man, though very nice man, he just didn't have that kind of money, he and his wife, and so he said he couldn't do that. Would they allow him to deed the property over to the city? And the city said what you would have said, "No, there's no way. We're not going to take this responsibility on." And yet at the same time, the city didn't want to do this to this man. I don't know if y'all are really familiar with those who are involved with our city council and with our city manager, but they really do have a good heart. And so they were really reluctant to do this to this guy, and they were trying to figure out a way that they didn't have to do that. But from a legal standpoint, they had to take care of the building. It had collapsed onto Main Street. And so that's where me and my big mouth entered into City Hall one day. And I just had pointed out to him that the land in between this building and our building that we paid about $6,000 for was starting to sink. And we didn't want to lose our incredible investment. And so what were they doing? And so they told us what was happening on that. And I said, "Well, why don't you just let some of the men in town tear it down? We'll sign a waiver of liability. We'll tear it down. We'll scrap it." And they said, "No, we can't do that. Our attorneys won't let us do that because you can't sign a release of liability and it'd be worth anything today." And so anyway, we got to talking back and forth, and I said, "Well, what would happen if I got the building?" Well, that was wrong because our city manager is very shrewd, and his eyes just lit up, and he said, "Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. we'll haul all the junk off for you if you'll tear it down." He said, "We'll provide the dumpsters, we'll provide the rollaway, we'll pay for it, we'll even knock the building down if you need us to with our equipment if you'll do the work." And then they kept going. They said, "And if the sewer is damaged between our property and yours, we'll replace that." And then they kept on going, and they said, they just told us all sorts of stuff. from a real estate standpoint, the term I have heard is this is adding a little sweetener to the deal. And you do this for stupid people. And since I was the stupid person there, I said, okay. I said, let me talk to Carolyn. And so I went home to talk to Carolyn, and I started explaining it to her in increments because she had already told me, whatever you do, you don't offer to buy that building. And I said, guess what? So anyway, at the end of it, she was fairly content. And so we went down to the city council and we talked to them about what would happen if he was willing to deed the property over to us. And they were very good with that. We were going to try and demolish it and save part of it and restore it, because kind of like you, we're tired of seeing Happy just fall to pieces. But what they're going to do for us in addition to that is send us a letter saying that the building is condemned and that if we don't fix it up, we're going to pay them between $30,000 and $50,000 for them to fix it up, which is a good deal, which is why we have a building for $10. So if you see me out on Main Street, that's what I'm doing. But the point of all that is this. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? There are times where it's not so much the money that you have to consider yourself with, it's the time. When we talk about becoming Christians, the question is, do you have the time to be a Christian? Can you be bothered with serving God for all of your life? Or is this something that you can only do piecemeal? You'll give them a little bit here and you'll give them a little bit there, because God does not want that. He wants everything we have. Now, I want to say very quickly, he also realizes that there are limitations to what we can do. There are going to be certain challenges that you will go through in life that will prevent you from doing some things you'd like to do. Sometimes we'll get sick and you can't serve in certain ways. Sometimes other things will come up and you cannot serve in certain ways. But the thing that we need to know before we determine to serve God or not is, can we afford the cost? Do you have the time? And do you have the heart? And are you willing to expend the effort that it requires to serve the Creator of the universe? Because if you are, someday there's going to be a promised land waiting for you. And it's called a promised land because that's been promised. It's a contract. It's a covenant between us and God. And just like God made a covenant with the Israelites, if you will do this, I will give you the promised land. He makes us a similar covenant. If we will live our lives for Him, He'll do two things for us. He will cleanse us from every sin we have if we do it His way. We don't get to make up our own plan of salvation. You don't get to negotiate with God. That's been one of the hardest lessons for me in life, is that you don't get to negotiate with God. You do get to figure out how you're going to serve Him as far as the capacity. What am I going to do for a career? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? There's a lot of leeway that God gives you. But He doesn't give you the choice of whether to believe or not and still be saved. He does not give you the choice of whether to repent of your sins or not and still be saved. He does not give you the choice of whether to have your sins washed away in baptism or not and still be saved. And He doesn't give you the choice of whether to walk faithfully before Him for the rest of your life or not and still be saved. He is the Creator of the universe. He did make you. The only reason that you exist is because God made you. Now, you may not have asked to be born. Sorry if that's your attitude. But may I say this? This existence is exciting. We have a tremendous opportunity to serve God. And I'm convinced that He wants us to have joy every step of the way. I don't mean a giddy happiness where we're just always content because things are always going our way, but I mean a joy, that sense of well-being and delight because you're serving God and because someday you're going to be in the promised land. The only way we're ever going to get to that point is if we get ready. And may I also say this, when He said, get ready, you and these people, He said, get ready to cross the Jordan River. Jordan River was running at flood stage. That wasn't an easy thing to do. They had to have faith because they couldn't do that with several million people without a boat. They didn't have a boat. But God had a plan for those who had faith. He said, you take the Ark of the Covenant, the priests, and they step into the water and the water will cease. And they believed him by faith. And they were able to cross the Jordan River. You have to prepare your mind for something like that. That's a commitment. Once you step into a flooding river, that's a commitment, is it not? Once you get a building, that's a commitment, is it not? Once you decide you're going to build a tower for God, that you are going to live your life for Him, that's a commitment. And once you start, should you decide to stop, everybody's going to see it. You have to be prepared for that. You have to be prepared for your buddies and your friends to be able to give you a little bit of joshing who don't accept Jesus as their Savior or who don't accept Him in His way. You have to be prepared. Jesus said, if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. We do have to be warned before we become Christians that there's ridicule in store for those who don't carry it out. People will see. They'll make fun of you. They'll call you a hypocrite. None of us like to be called a hypocrite, do we? Matter of fact, some of them will call you a hypocrite even if you're not, because they don't like that you've changed your lifestyle. You have to get ready. And the second part of it that we read in verse 6 was this: be strong and courageous because you will lead. One of the most difficult things for us in our life is to have strength and courage. It takes a lot. It's one thing to talk about. From the time a little boy is about 3 or 4 years old and starts watching these cartoons with the karate people, they think that they're strong and courageous until that big dog on the corner chases them back to mama's apron. We like to fancy ourselves as being strong and courageous. You ladies like to think of yourself as being strong and courageous in what you're doing. But there's one thing. It's one thing to fancy ourselves strong and courageous. It's another thing to be strong and courageous. May I read the rest of this list from Joshua? As far as the 10 steps of revival that I noticed, you may have noticed more. We're to get ready and to be strong. In verse 3, it says, the third one that I saw was to meditate on the book and be careful to obey everything written in it. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, God said, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or left, that you may be successful wherever you go. People all over this nation are making New Year's resolutions in part because they think that by obtaining this type of resolve and obtaining what they're wanting to through the resolve, that they're going to be successful. You know what the key to success is? Whether you're little bitty or whether you're enjoying a few extra years, the key to success is to be careful to obey all the law. Now, we're under a new law, are we not? They were under the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. We're under the New Covenant. But we have the same charge: be careful to obey all the law. Are you willing to do that? Because if you are, not because you deserve it or that you'll be saved by your own righteousness, but if you'll do that, you'll be successful. The fourth is, do not be terrified or discouraged. It's the negative of be strong and courageous. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged. One of the hardest things in this life is to not just crumble at different times. We have difficulty on the job, or we don't like the way the direction of the nation is going, or we have financial problems, and we get discouraged. God just tells us, don't do that. He's on our side. This says, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The fifth thing they're to do is to consecrate themselves. Consecrate means to cleanse yourself or to make yourself holy. Joshua told the people, Joshua 3, verse 5, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. You and I have a part in that cleansing. We can't just pray to God and say, you do this for me. One of the most difficult things for people to accept is the fact that they really do need to be baptized to have their sins washed away. Many people will look at that and say, I don't see what good it'll do me. And that's fine. I doubt very seriously if God cares what you think as far as his plan of salvation, as far as whether you think that measures up to what you would do or not. I do think that he's very concerned and that he cares very greatly as to whether or not you will turn over your will and do his and accept his command to be cleansed. Consecrate yourselves was what they were told to do. In verse 6, it says, honor God's holiness. We're to make ourselves holy because God is holy. In chapter 5, verse 15, the commander of the Lord's army said, take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy. When we go before God in prayer, we need to recognize that he's holy. Is he our friend? Yes, he's the best friend we will ever have. But he is our sovereign master. And he is holy, and we need to recognize that holiness. The seventh thing is to keep away from forbidden things, and the eighth is to remove forbidden things that are in your midst. One of the hardest things for us to do is to repent, is it not? It's hard to keep out of sin, and once we've sinned, it's hard to repent because we don't like to admit that we're wrong in anything. And yet God commands us to keep away from forbidden things, and for those things that we have gotten involved with, were to remove them, otherwise we'll be destroyed. The ninth thing is to leave nothing undone of all the Lord's commands. One of the hardest things, again, for us to do is do everything. I can be kind, I can be truthful, I can be honest, but you want me to be patient and not lose my temper? I don't know what you have difficulty with, but we all have something that we have a difficulty with. It's not the best 9 out of 10. We are to be faithful and leave nothing undone of all the Lord's commands. And finally, we start nearly at the very stop at the very place we started. Choose to serve God with your entire household. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers they serve beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But look what Joshua says. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Why was he able to say that at the end of his life? Because at the beginning of his task, when God said, get ready, he did. If you and I will get ready to serve, if we'll be faithful in our service, someday we're going to receive the promised land. I want to stress again, we don't deserve it. That we'll fail many times. But if we'll come back to God on his terms, he has a home waiting for us in heaven for all eternity. And that's when the life that God has designed truly begins. Are you prepared for that? The charge today is to get ready. Invitations open. If anyone needs to respond to the gospel's call, we'd encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.